You're listening to the Camp Nation podcast. Find us online at campnation.ca.
Welcome to the Camp Nation podcast number 5, the one where Joe gets all zen. Today's episode features our discussion on staff training and your host picks of the week. Some quick and easy tools to make you a better camp director. Good day and welcome to the Camp Nation podcast number 5 for the 4th week of February 2010. My name is Travis Allison. At this point, I'd like to invite my co-hosts to introduce themselves. Joe?
I'm Joe Richards. I'm the administrative director at Pierce Williams Christian Center, which is near London, Ontario.
Good. And Gab?
Hi, my name is Gabrielle Rail, and I'm one of the directors at Camp Waro, an all-girls camp situated in the Laurentians, Quebec.
And Dan?
Hi, my name is Dan Weir. I'm the director of Camp Alianda at Frost Valley YMCA, which is a year-round camping, conferencing, education facility in the Catskill Mountains of New York.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to start off with some links today.
So essentially, I just wanted to, for the summer camp industry, it's a great sort of Google Alerts is a tool where you just put in a phrase that you want to keep track of, and Google tracks it in news, in blogs, and just on the web. I've been using it for a few years because when I was editing the newsletter, it really helped me figure out what was going on at summer camp. So summer camp is one of mine, and I have Pierce Williams up and Pierce Williams Christian Center and Yo-Yo Joe, just so you can track where your name is in the news. And I'm pretty sure Google Alerts soon will go to real-time live tracking of things like Twitter and whatnot, because that's in searches, so it should start coming into Google Alerts shortly. Dan said he uses it as well. Or no, he uses Facebook.
No, yeah, I use Google Alerts as well. I've used them for a few years. But yeah, that goes right into my pick of the week, which is Facebook. So with the revamping of their site, basically you could search your camp's name and you could search the posts by everybody. So you just, for instance, I put Frost Valley in quotation marks and I search posts by everybody. And now I'm able to read statuses of, you know, somebody is back from Frost Valley, way scary drive home. Somebody misses Frost Valley. It just goes on and on and on. And it's just a little bit stalkerish, but it definitely is. It's cool to kind of see what people are talking about Frost Valley. And I can see their comments as well, too. It just kind of blows my mind still of that aspect. But yeah, it's great to see what people are talking about.
So every once in a while, you just plunk it into the search. Is that what you do?
Yeah, I do like doing this stuff. So I know for a lot of camp directors, you know, it's another added thing. I'm on Facebook. I'll just search Frost Valley and now and it comes right up and it's pretty awesome to get that kind of raw feedback.
Right. Which is cool. Cool. Gab, you got a link for us?
Yep. My link is at TEDTalks.com and it's Jamie Oliver's is speaking. For those of you that don't know what TED Talks is, it's basically a website where you have a lot of really impressive speakers that talk about some impactful topics. And so Jamie Oliver, a well-known chef, has put on a mission to teach our children on responsible eating and healthy eating. And he's trying to start this movement of healthy nutrition and try to fight the epidemic of obesity. And it's a great video to watch. And I think it's inspiring in the sense of, you know, what food do we feed our campers and staff, and what are some of the things that we can do at camp to educate our campers and staff and implement it in our everyday use. We have a great opportunity to educate our campers. Check out the Jamie Oliver's chat on TED Talks.
That's great. Thank you. I know we've had cooks at camp over the years who we've had to just sit down and say, you know, we need something other than pasta.
Yeah.
We need something other than carbs. I love TED Talks. I haven't seen that one, but love TED Talks in general.
Yeah, it's new from February, but cool. I think even our staff snacks at nighttime, I know we've really made a switch on what kind of snacks we've been offering to the staff members, but just changing, talking about pasta, just changing your pasta to whole wheat pasta, and even, you know, starting a garden if that's possible at your camp. I think there's a lot of little things that we can do.
Yes, and I can certainly vouch for the good food at Waro from my few days there last summer.
Yeah, great.
Nice. We have a farm program that definitely pulls food from the gardens, and it makes such a difference for the kids to see like that as well.
Your farm program is awesome. I spent some time, you Twittered something about it, so I spent some time looking at your website about it, Dan. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's funny when you tell people, like, oh yeah, they're gonna pay to send their kid to a farm, you know, but we live in the New York City district where the kids aren't, you know, getting to climb trees or getting to do any of that sort of thing. So really, it's awesome. About 48 kids, it's co-ed, and they love it. You know, they'll learn to kind of pull the wool from the sheep and then learn to knit with that wool later on as well, too. So they really learn about stewardship and the natural resources.
That's amazing. It'd be a natural fit for you, Joe.
Yeah, and it's something we've thought about here because we rent out 70 acres of farmland to a farmer, which is a source of income for us. But I've thought about how that fits, and having grown up on a farm, it's, you know, I don't think it's that difficult to implement the program, even with livestock, yeah, you know, things of that nature. So it's all something that is coming down out of, we're doing a site assessment right now, so that's a future vision.
Nice.
So, Dan, do you raise livestock as well, or just food?
No, yeah, we do have livestock. We have a few horses, a few sheep, a few goats. Our farm manager, as a joke, bought a llama, and so we have a llama on camp as well, too. I actually don't know the llama's name, but it's just part of the family, and the kids take care of the animals as well, and it's really awesome to see. We also have Polish chickens and kind of a wide variety in that aspect.
Do you get into discussions about eating the food you have grown to know?
Oh, yeah. We hear back from the kids about, and the parents are like, great, now my kid will only eat organic meat that comes from a farm and this and that, which is a good thing. I mean, they definitely should be educated.
Yeah.
It's funny to see how much of an impact 2 weeks on the farm has. My sister even went, and there's a little bit of an age gap between us, and she's 12, and she's been a vegetarian for a year now because she went to the farm as well.
But, right. Yeah.
Well, I always loved the idea of bringing in pigs or sending food scraps out to pigs. Like Joe, I'm a farm kid. I grew up on a farm, so I never had any illusions about where meat came from. But I ended up getting overruled on feeding our scraps to pigs and discussing where our food came from.
I find that so frustrating because I'm a vegetarian myself, but I think it's really important that people know where their burger is coming from. And we wanted to do, you know, have pigs on our site, and we realized we couldn't do it. So we're trying to find a farm that we can send our scraps to and so on and so forth. But I know that a lot of the pressure comes from sort of board members or even parents who think that they should protect their children from a camp that I won't mention. Their maintenance staff member, who's also a great French-Canadian hunter, wanted to start a hunting program at their camp. And it was quickly overruled, but not because of safety, but because they thought it'd be too traumatizing for the children. And I just thought, that's such a shame. What a great experience to know where you're, you know, what you're eating. But that's a whole other topic, isn't it?
It is. It's a good topic. I have lots of thoughts on that, but I'm going to try to keep the link short. So before we were recording, Dan, you were telling us this is not really a link, not really news about the camping industry, but something that you did that I just wanted to make sure we got into the show today.
We send a monthly email out to our families, and with that, we really, you know, just try to keep the communication and try to keep in their mind. And the emails up to January are often, you know, like, here's what we're doing at camp during this time and this sort of thing. And then when January happens, we really start kind of amping up the fact that camp is starting to sell out and new families are thinking about camp. And so today we emailed all of our families just a list of the sessions that were sold out and a list of the ones that we thought were going to be going soon. And we got 21 registrations within 2 hours, all online. Just people, like, you know, really kind of lit the incentive of, oh, I should really register with that, you know, the deposit, and just make sure I have that spot for camp for my child. It worked out really tremendously well.
That's brilliant.
You could actually see the email on Frost Valley's Twitter as well, too. That's the first link.
Good. Well, thank you for the links. So our links section, every podcast, again, it's really focused on news about the industry, about camping and recreation, and just to sort of keep you informed about stuff like that. So I thank my co-hosts for those. We wanted to talk today about staff training. We wanted to take some time and talk about how it's changed and things like that. And Gab, I wonder if you could introduce the subject for us.
Sure. As camp directors, I think we struggle a lot on how we can impact our staff members in such a positive way that our campers leave camp from a very positive experience. So basically, I think we struggle a lot on how do we train our staff. And I think the wonderful thing about podcasts is that camp directors, a lot of the times, are by themselves to to make these decisions. Maybe they have a couple of staff to help out, but we're really the one consistent force on our staff training. And over the past couple of years, there has been a shift in staff training and staff members being international staff members, maybe not being able to make it on time, or staff members being in high school. How do we fit the most information in these staff members as possible? And some camps have even gone online to do staff training, which I think spoke about last podcast. And so I thought we could just talk about the trends and what each of us are doing, and how are we trying to make our staff training an experience that bonds our staff together, but also educates them for their summer at camp. So yeah, that's basically the topic for today.
Excellent. Thanks. What do you think, fellas?
We have 3 weeks of training for our resident camp. And so there's a 1 week where it's the directors. And so basically, you know, there's a few year-round directors. And then we also have a director team of assistant directors and some program directors that we hire for the summer as well. And so they spend a week. And a lot of that session is just kind of setting the tone, as well as just kind of making sure we're on the same page of how we want to manage the staff and what we want to accomplish that summer, a lot of goal setting. And then the second week of training is for mid-level managers. And so we bring them in. Some of them, it might be their first time managing. They've been a camp counselor forever, and like they're just stepping up into this management role. Others, you know, they're really trying to identify what they want to do this summer. And it's a great time. It's one of my favorite trainings that we run. And then the last week is the camp counselor training, where we have the rest of the staff come in. So I'd say that the first week is about 10%. The second week is about 25%, and then the remaining 65 to 70% come in for the last week, and we cover everything from bloodborne pathogens to how to handle child abuse or homesickness or bullying or any of those things. And I really like the tone that we have set with our staff training of it's getting information in their brains, but also about bonding, and a lot of that kind of incorporated into that time.
What's one of the things that you do, Dan, is there anything special that you guys do at Frost Valley to help that bonding experience happen?
Sure. The first night of staff training for the camp counselors, we do an opening campfire. We actually do an opening campfire for all three of the trainings, but there's like an opening campfire that we do just like we were running it like a child's campfire, a camper's campfire. And so we do the songs, we do the skits, you know, we're right at the exact same spot, and we talk about how we are going to provide this impact for kids. And really that we kind of carry that tone throughout the rest of the time, as well as, you know, the evening programs that we run. The evening programs during staff training tend to be a little bit more fun-based than information-based. But we also close up the evenings with devotions. And devotions really are, for us, they're a time where you're in a small group and you're discussing a topic or you're sharing your feelings. And it's just amazing to watch people really kind of make those connections really early on and feel the power of it, just like, you know, 2 days in and never being to the U.S. before.
Mm-hmm. How's yours go, Joe?
We have a weekend and a week of training event. Our leadership team is here in the spring, working spring staff. So a lot of that leadership is their training is just things, speaking at night, hanging out, playing games. They know the philosophy. They know what we're getting into. And we try to have a couple of meetings a week with them during the springtime. And then we have a weekend training event for our general staff. And it covers, you know, all of the policies and procedures and things that need to be done. And one of the things that I found out years ago about training is that I can miss some policies, but if I miss teamwork, the staff's never going to gel. And so I put a really heavy placement on teamwork and team play and getting them doing activities. We spend about an hour and a half a day, and that's a session that I lead because I deem it, you know, so important for the group. We also do a week-long training event right at the end of school and right before camp. And a couple of things we've implemented, once again, are the teamwork sessions, as well as, much like your devotions, Dan, we have a Think Together group, which is something I learned at Buckeye. And the Think Together group is essentially a small group of people where they can do, they're given a starter sheet of questions, things to talk about, things to work through. But it's a small group, so everyone in that group has access to everyone else. And there's a leadership team member in charge of each group, so that they can, you know, if there's personal issues or if something at camp has made them think of something else or has made them emotional for whatever reason, that's a great group that they can go to do that. So we really focus on that teamwork aspect, and we're trying to push all of our policies and things that don't need to be done in person. We're trying to get an online version up and running before this summer.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Gab, how does your training go?
Our training, we're changing it up a little bit this year, but our leadership team members come the first week of June. And so throughout the year, we talk about how we want our staff development to go. And we iron some of those kinks out, and then we do an actual training with our leadership team on how to talk to staff, how to run sessions, so on and so forth. And then what we've changed a little bit is that we've invited all of our returning staff members to come up to camp 2 days before our new staff members are coming up to camp. So we're planning on doing a big welcoming barbecue, and we want to talk about our expectations for the rest of our staff development and what their role can be in that, whether it be help out with running sessions or running games, so on and so forth. Our hope is that by doing this, we get a little bit of input for our staff training, so we'll make it a little bit flexible, as well as allow our staff to just get those, you know, I'm excited to see you, you know, I don't really want to talk to anybody else new, I just want to hang out with my friends. And we are an all-girls camp, so they're quite cliquey. They can be, and we've worked really hard to break that up. But what happened in breaking that up is that we weren't really respecting these groups that have already been made. So we're going to bring them in a couple of days early, form a welcoming committee, and then have the rest of our staff come in and welcome them properly and so on and so forth. And we've just joined Essential Learning, Chris Thurber's program, which I think we spoke about also in a past program. So we're looking at using that this year. So we're going to see how that goes, and I'll talk about that once we have the experience. But I've heard some good reviews, and we're looking forward to filling in some of the gaps, not the gaps that we miss it during staff training, but allow us to do some more practical stuff instead of theoretical stuff. So we'll see how that turns out this summer.
Nice. We're considering the online trainings as well, too. We're just trying to figure out the cost compared to, you know, like making sure they're getting the knowledge out of it as well.
Well, yeah, and you know, and I think one of the things with Essential Learning is that you can post your own PDFs and your own videos to accompany some of the videos that they have. Yeah. So I think that's a bonus, but financially, yeah, you definitely have to look at that.
And I think not only is online training just a good resource to, you just want to take advantage of the resources you have, but I was first a camp director in, my first summer as a camp director was 1994, and the amount of things that are essential to cover that is, you know, that's just grown exponentially since then, it's just, we found, and it's been 3 summers since I had some responsibility for staff training, we just found it's just, there's so much stuff to cover, you just don't have time to do it, and, you know, I've had to turn to putting it online so that they get some of the knowledge before they arrive at camp.
Yeah.
Working at a camp like Frost Valley, or when I was at another camp, when you have international staff coming, if you try to do any training before the summer,
right,
where people have to show up, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And when you're gathering staff from across the country, it's not feasible. The only reason we can do weekend training is because all of our staff live within an hour of camp.
Yeah. And that's really neat. Like, I wish that we could do that. And I, you know, bring in the staff, you know, weekend by weekend, and even thinking about staff parties during the winter time. But it's not possible. And that's one of the positive things about the internet. You can have a staff face group going, and you can start to build that team feeling before people come to camp. But I hope that it eases some of the minds of international staff when they go through some of these videos, or it might make them more anxious. I have no idea. Well, I guess we'll see.
You know, we did, we created an employee information handbook, which, you know, everybody has a staff manual, but this was purely on the transition from coming to camp for the first time. And we just did it last summer. And I heard from multiple staff that come from overseas of just like, I wish I had this my first year. And just the comfort level was a lot of it. And the last, like, I'd say the last half of it is just we had our staff write up opinions and tips and slang that I could, as an American, I can't write. You know, I can't tell an Australian what's, you know, the proper term for something to bring over, or I might not say Cadbury when I talk about chocolate for English staff, you know? And so it was amazing to kind of watch the effect of that. And then we also put like what position they were going to be in this summer as well, so they could also connect to those people on Facebook.
That's cool. And that's makes me think of a couple different things. One thing that we did and is still going on at Karen is a staff dictionary. And so we sat down and brainstormed all of our slangs and, you know, inside joke words and things. And we have a lot of people. One of our camp programs had a long history, a 40-year history. The two camp programs on the one site just came together 4 years ago. And when they were separate, the one camp had a long history of spoonerisms. So they had spoonerisms for everything. And so somebody coming in to... Everybody's with me on spoonerisms. When you switch the first sound of two words. So life jacket would be Jife Lacket.
Right? That would drive me nuts. And I would've,
Well, you just get used to it. So that's a spoonerism. So all of the Iona folks had grown up with calling life jackets Jifes. Bible study was Stible Buddy. So it all gets shortened down to Stibe. So if you're talking about, you know, the kids going to Stibe, or for a new staff member, there's a great dictionary that we gave them to things you're going to hear this week.
Yeah.
And that was sort of an appendix to something. So
nice.
Yeah, I showed up in Algonquin Park in the spring of 2000, and there was a sheet in the folder called Canoe Lake Jargon. And essentially it was everything you needed to know, what a building was called and why it was called that. And it was 3 pages of Canoe Lake jargon, things that the camp used that no one else would know. And one of the things that wasn't included, but I added in my 5 years there, was the term rink. Because it was an all-girls camp that I was at, and some of them one day in the middle of the summer, there was a Japanese tourist paddling by and had gotten into trouble canoeing, and these... Literally, they're standing on the dock yelling, "You're a rink!" And I, for the life of me, I couldn't place it as a slur, but I thought to myself, what are you saying? And in the end, it's really inexperienced novice canoer. Rink. And I put it in Canoe Lake jargon, and I said, you shouldn't yell at people to the staff. That's just not polite. We can call them rinks, but just not to their face. How's that? So it's a very valuable tool.
Awesome. Have you found, and school year is a bit different for you, Dan, I think, that, well, and maybe for Gab too, than it is in Ontario for Joe and I, because high school students will finish sort of the third or third and a half week of June, and traditionally, campers would come in Ontario in the first week of July. Is that similar for you, Gab?
Yes, it is. And we're squeezed by the Quebec school system where kids go back to school before Labor Day weekend. And our CEGEP students, which is college, they go back before Labor Day as well.
And Dan, how's your school year work?
It sounds pretty similar. Kids typically go to school after Labor Day. But camp ends for us on August 22nd, so we just run an 8-week program. We have a few high schoolers that can't make it to the week-long staff training, the whole thing, and so what we do is we actually provide a weekend staff training in May, where if you can't make the one in June, you have to come to that one in May, and it's like a really condensed version of staff training. I mean, we're doing the essentials, which are, you know, child abuse and bloodborne pathogens, and then we're, you know, just picking and choosing what we really want to dive into. It's stressful, and I kind of guilt them at the end of the training, and I hope if they're listening to this, you know, that'll be even funnier. But I definitely talk about, you know, like, you know, think of it as a camper coming in late to camp. You know, like, you might miss out on a little bit of bonding at the beginning of staff training if you're not there. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they talk about, oh, okay, well, I'll definitely try to get there for all of staff training then. You know, like, they go from these excuses they had of you know, having to be at the last day, half day of school that no one ever has to be at, you know, I'll make it to staff training. So sometimes it is, you know, my mother's Jewish, so I have a little bit of the liberal guilt in me, so I can work. And so placing that on there, but it works out well for the most part. You know, we definitely make sure everyone's fully trained in the aspects they need to before they're working with kids.
Right. We do a similar thing, and we did also the light guilt on when they could come back. And I was getting frustrated, especially when our 17-year-olds, their parents contacting us and saying, you know, I really think she needs a little bit of time before she comes to camp. And I was like, you know, listen, my mom was the camp director and I finished my graduation and I came to camp in my prom dress, so your kid can come.
Yeah.
You don't give me that. But the thing is that I was getting so fed up with doing that, that we just made the long weekend mandatory, and then we made a date that we knew every one of our staff members would be done school by, and they had to all arrive at that time. And even if they could arrive earlier, we're not accepting them. They just have to come there on the 24th, and that's it. And we feel that hopefully this way we can just welcome them all at the same time. They're not going to be stragglers that are coming through and sort of having a hard time, that they actually have a proper welcoming. They're all sort of in the same boat. That's what we're gonna do this year. And then it takes the pressure off of us and the parents. You know, we send out those letters to the parents. Your daughter is expected to work from this date to this date. Come to the staff training. But I'm just so surprised that our parents, when they want to not have their kids come to the full staff training, and I tried to explain to them, we made your child's camp counselor come to the full staff training. This never occurs with, obviously, staff members that weren't campers with us. Only staff members who came to us as campers. The parents have a really hard time making that transition as well.
Oh, that sense of entitlement, yeah.
Right. In Ontario, the school year is really, because they've set exams, all high school students write exams on the same 4 to 5 days. And so that's been a challenge for us. But I just get to the point where I'm like, you know, show up. You want to work or you don't want to work. So, yeah.
It sometimes it needs that tough love, you know.
Well, totally. Sense. And our contract got to the point where it said this is mandatory training, and if you can't make it, then you're fired.
That's right.
And we also had someone on our board who was really into risk management and taught me a lot of stuff. And one of the things that she had us do is decide what are the absolute sort of legal essentials, the stuff that you were talking about, Dan, the pathogens and child abuse, and, you know, there's things that are required because the camp that I worked at was owned by the Presbyterian Church in Canada. There's things required by the church and stuff like that. So they have to sign that they were at that session. So if they don't start working the week after unless they've gone through that session. So if they're late because of an exam, then they have to find time in the 2 or 3 days that they are at camp for training. They have to find time to make up that session with whoever led it, because they can't start until they've signed that they've been through that training.
That's great.
See, and that's where online training, where you can track that they've actually done it and give them a grade. I think, because rather than sign in for the Ministry of Labor has certain aspects where you have to sign in that you've done a health and safety. You just have to have an attendance sheet. It doesn't say they have to sign it, right? You have to have a proof. And online, that's pretty solid. But I agree, there's legal stuff we just can't do without. So,
good. Well, that's a great discussion. I think that people who are listening, if they want to chime in on sort of how their training went, how their training goes, or issues that they have come across, you can leave us a comment on the Facebook page. And, you know, we'll maybe bring it up in the next one if we have some good points or things that, good ideas from folks. So we look forward to that. And actually, you can leave us a comment on our blog. By the time you hear this, there will be a new blog for this, for the Camp Nation podcast. So you can find that at www.camps.ca/campnation. So you can leave us a comment there where you'll find the show notes for this thing. So we're excited to get our new blog started. Okay, so we'll wrap this up then with the picks of the week. And let me just remind the people that are listening that these picks of the week are just a tool that each of us is bringing to the table that we think will help make you a better camp director. Joe, why don't you start us off with your pick of the week?
So I've had this strange thought over the past week, the past few days, that what if I were to sit and just think for an hour a day? No music, no computer, no book to read, just a sheet of paper and a pen, and literally think for an hour a day, what would I get done? What would I think? What would I be able to put on paper? And I just thought that oftentimes what we do at camp is keep ourselves busy. There's always something more to do, but there's a value in just thinking through things and letting things sort of seep in that have happened. And it's just something I recommend to everyone, you know, taking time away to just be Right? That sounds so zen, but I'm not zen at all.
I think it's brilliant. Cool. And Gab, what's your pick?
My pick is, well, I'm at the ACA National Conference right now in Denver. It's very cool here. It's I took my flight went from Montreal to Miami to Denver, and I almost stayed in Miami. The mojitos and palm trees were really tempting, but I'm glad that I'm here. And one of the sessions that I went to was just a panel of discussion of your online presence and so on and so forth. And I think a lot of us are concerned and preoccupied with our online presence. And one of the links that they did talk about was the Google Alerts. But one of the things that one of the speakers talked about, which I thought was really smart, was just basically trying to reserve as many of your online presence as possible. So your URLs and your Twitter accounts and Facebooks and so on and so forth. So basically, if you're not into Twittering and you don't have Facebook for your camp, just reserve your name, your camp name, so that nobody else can do it for you. As well as if your camp name is, let's just say, you know, Camp Happy Fun, and you have a website that's camphappyfun.com, why don't you just purchase the other names of, you know, camphappyfun.org and .net and so on and so forth. And I think that just gives you a little bit more control of your online presence, and it doesn't allow other people to do so. And I have heard of some camp organizations having their camp name used as a non-camp site, and they just changed it to .net or something like that. So
I definitely, for Frost Valley, there's a heavy metal band now out named Frost Valley, and they're on YouTube. And so I searched Frost Valley on YouTube, and these heavy metal, like these teenagers, you know, come up and they're doing Metallica covers.
Right.
And I'm just like, oh lordy. I used to work in internet advertising, for a firm that will remain unnamed. And I can't recommend enough buying every URL with your name in it.
You're so right. And a couple of years ago, we had an emergency, and our camp director had to leave for a day or two. And it was camp was over, and it was September, and we had an email from an alumni saying that our camp name was being used as a porn site. And so, sure enough, they had purchased our – and, you know, we're an all-girls camp, so it was just a headache, and we were able to sort of overtake that. And even the misspelt Woro is – we own it, and that just sort of protects us from those porn users out there. So, yeah. And you can – there's a whole bunch of places where you can buy those URL sites.
And I'm a compulsive URL buyer.
Yeah.
Whenever I get an idea, I buy the URL. Which, for some reason, my friends can't relate to. Because I was talking to them one time about how I think it's important, especially when their kids are little, to buy their names.com.
Yeah.
Because my stepson, the .com version of his name, is a pretty famous porn star. So I was saying to my friends, I think you need, when your kids are little, you should buy their own name.com, just so it's going to be who you are in the world from going forward. Thanks, Gab. Dan, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is the book Bullyproof Your Child for Life by Joel Haber. I read a lot of books on just child development, and I love this book because it's got a chapter on camp. It's actually, the title of the chapter is Bullying at Camp, and it's one of the few books. Most of the times I'm reading like books about parenting, and I'm kind of construing it to being for camp counselors and that sort of thing, but this really kind of dives into, it dives into staff training. It dives into rewarding social behavior. It's just a really great resource. And I was talking to Wheaton Griffin, who is the CEO of New York YMCA Camp. And he talked about how he brought Joel Haber out to his camp to really transform the bullying culture, and how this book was really a great model for what they were doing. And we base our training for bullying off of this book as well, too. It's just really solid and really kind of dives into what steps you should be taking and how to address it with your staff.
Good. Thank you very much. And my pick of the week is actually an iPhone app, and it's called Ego. So it's at ego-app.com. And it's pretty cool. A friend of mine recommended it on Twitter and have just got it set up in the last week, and it's pretty amazing. It gives you sort of an easy overview of stats online. So you can sign on to your Google Analytics account, your FeedBurner accounts, and all your Twitter accounts and things like that, and keep an eye on it. So when I, you know, sort of once a day, I just sort of check all the websites that I have going, you know, the stuff that I do for friends and family, and my own for my photography business and stuff like that. So it shows me number of visits per day and the number of page views, really super easy. Has the FeedBurner account so I can see if I have more or less subscribers to websites who subscribe to the RSS feeds. And then sort of Twitter, just quickly the number of followers that you have and stuff like that. So I think it's pretty great. I forget the cost of it. I'm sorry about that. But it was not expensive. And it has been really good for just quick overview of how things are going on the web, since we spent a lot of time talking about web. There you go. That's my pick.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that that pretty much wraps us up. I wanted to give you all a chance to say goodbye and give us a bit about where you are on the web, just so we can people can look you up outside of the podcast. So, Gab, why don't you start us off?
Sure. My name is Gabrielle Rail, and I have now a Twitter account. It's very exciting.
Yay!
So Twitter /Gabrielle Rail Gabrielle Rail. And I also have a website called GabrielleRail.com. So there's a whole bunch of fun camp stuff on there for staff training, and you can leave comments. And I love comments, so please do.
And a little podcast, too.
I do have a little. It's a tiny podcast, but I do have my own podcast that's approximately 15 minutes.
Dan, how about you?
I Twitter at twitter.com/DanLovesCamp. And then I also blog at the same address of danlovescamp.com. And I also work for fossvalley.org as well.
Wonderful. Joe?
Great. My website is yoyojoe.com. And my Twitter is yoyojoer, so there's an R after it. And then I work at piercewilliams.org, or if that's too long to remember, you can just go to campisbetter.com. Points to us as well. So that's what I do.
Wonderful. And I'm Travis Allison, and I work at Our Kids Media, and our Twitter is @OurKidsNet. And my personal Twitter, where I put out a lot of camp stuff, is twitter.com/Zoic. It's Zoic. And yeah, you can find us on the web at camps.ca/campnation. So I want to ask everybody to go to our Facebook fan page. We'd really appreciate it if you'd become a fan. We're just about to launch a really cool contest that's going to, in fact, by the time this goes out, the contest will, more details will be out about the contest, so I can probably spill it here. We are inviting camp staff members to submit videos of themselves singing a song. And we have some professional recording artists who are going to judge them. And there's going to be a prize for best original song and best performance. And we got this idea from people like Pomplamoose and Julian Nunes, who have great YouTube channels where they've just recorded in a room with all their gear. And Julia often is just sitting at her laptop in her dorm room, or at least that's how she started. And so we're looking for camp staff members to submit their songs. And we're really excited. We're going to slowly release what the prizes are going to be. And there's going to be some cool judges as well. So if you become a fan at facebook.com/OurKidsGoToCamp, then they'll be the first to find out about that.
Just a quick question. Are there extra points if there's a banjo in the song?
I think it would get you some style points. Yes, Joe. So you must have been a staff member in 2009 or 2010, and we're going to verify that with your camp directors before we choose the finalists, before the final videos go to our celebrity judges, so we'll have to verify that.
Accountants beware.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we want to take a moment just to thank our long-suffering audio editor, Donovan Romanek, from whereitsatproductions.ca, and we've been working with Don to get ourselves better and better at this. So if you notice a quality difference in the podcasts, that's really Don's work. So there you go. So thank you all very much for meeting up by Skype today. And to our listeners, we thank you so much for downloading the Camp Nation podcast, which is a product of Our Kids Media. Thanks, everybody.
No problem.
See you guys.
This Camp Nation podcast was brought to you by Our Kids Go to Camp magazine and the camps.ca online summer camp directory. Thanks for listening.